Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yodis B, Sport of Time. Hello. All the dads are here. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, Brandon. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, this is take two. Let's do our best here. Stuart, are you here?
Yeah. The dog has peanut butter. Youngest daughter's in her room. Mandy is looking for a Hallmark movie to watch in the background for people to guess what's in the background of my audio. So we're going to see how that goes here. Oh, everyone
and then
loves
Chicken Fingers is also here.
I'm here, fuckers. First time recording from my office.
From the office.
Yep.
That's excellent.
Is this a new office that you have due mm-hmm. to the pandemic?
Yep. It's my couch.
Yeah, my pandemic office situation is I will switch from the couch to the easy chair to a bar mm-hmm. stool, to our bed. Those are the four places that I work from. I don't really have any other options right now. Unless it gets nice out, mm-hmm. then I can have a fifth option, which is our balcony. But that's kind of gets the glare from the sun, so.
The lanai?
Yeah.
I get it. Yep.
It sucks. It sucks.
It sucks so much. Just sitting here, watching The Masked Singer, just from my office.
Yep.
Talking
it's
with you guys.
Pain in the ass. I go from here to the guest house, to the pool house, to the boat. It sucks. it gets annoying.
Are you up at the cabin? I didn't know that.
No, not really. Oh. I'm actually sitting on my bed.
Oh. That's nice. Sucks.
Does your cabin have a guest house and a pool house?
No. It has neither Jesus. Of those. It has a shed. Pretty nice shed.
All right, I feel a little bit better about the rest of this podcast knowing that having a pool at the cabin would be the single stupidest possible thing you could do.
Yes.
Yep, I would expect to lose all of you as friends if I ever installed a pool at the cabin.
Yeah, that would be the end of the sport for sure.
Yeah, finally. Well, I just cracked a beer for us to talk about beer, and that specifically is the end of the best reason you're drinking a beer bracket that let's just come out with it. It took the internet by storm, broke mm-hmm. the internet.
That's right.
Incredible. We got a 200 votes, 200
Jesus.
Votes
wow.
in the finals. That's amazing. And so the champion of the beer bracket, which we all know was Cabin Beer. Cabin Beer was the winner. Just got to the Cabin Beer. It was a 4 seed, and it toppled the overall number 1 seed, which I think I for sure thought would fly through to number 1, especially because we're in Minnesota. The first day of warm weather patio beer. So, close second. Good job. I think the score was something like 58-42, somewhere around there. Decisive, but not a landslide. And I would say, in thinking about this, the Cabin Beer, not exactly a Cinderella story. It's more like one of those teams who somehow got the 4 seed, even though they were like this number 6 team in the country at the time. It was really a seeding issue, I think, looking right. back on it now, which, as we all know, we all take 25% of the blame. Right?
Excuse train coming through.
25% of the blame.
Here it comes.
So I'm not going to name names, but one of us put the ranking together and three others reviewed and approved with no changes. So basically that just means that we were all, and I know the other three, again, not naming names, looked very clearly at that entire list and ranking order and really studied it as much as the first person did who suggested all of it. So again, not naming names, but 25% blame on all of us for letting something
kick to my face. I've come through on and on, on. We are the champions, my friend.
Is this your Masked Singer tryout song?
No, I wasn't paying any attention to you. I was singing to YouTube, We Are the Champions. I'm sorry.
That was good. But it deserved it. It earned it. It was decisive. Had to come through a fairly tough bracket. You know, looking at the bracket now, the number one seed in that region was the Running Aaron's beer, which we figured out pretty clearly is not a thing at all.
Extremely divisive, even within the podcast.
Of like, there like 6% of people that had even heard of a Running Aaron's beer. Those 6% of people, I would say, mostly love it if they know about it. But it's just way too much. It's too underground. It's indie. It's like Murray State being a one seed. It's just, sorry, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that was probably a pretty easy one, but it also had to compete with the Bonfire beer, which we thought was going to be a really, really big competitor there. So, you know, just hats off to the cabin beer, hats off to cabin owners and cabin moochers and cabin visitors. Anybody who has had that first cabin beer knows that it is a special one. It is legitimately a great, great beer. I've had upwards of, I don't know, 50,000 of those beers in my life. Each one better than the last. It mm-hmm. does not get, it doesn't plateau. Mm-hmm. It just continues to get better. So cabin beer, congratulations. And again, although we all 25% equally were good with this seeding, there was certainly, feels like I'm sensing, I'm pretty good at like reading tea leaves and kind of the vibes. I do sense that there may have been a little bit of a bias from one of the four of us that really wanted this cabin beer to win. It's subtle, but I'm really intuitive. I just sort of pick up on these intuition sort of senses. It's my mm-hmm. sixth sense, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I'll just leave it at that. We're all pretty happy.
Yeah, there may have been some. It's not vote tampering. It wasn't vote tampering. It was I
tampering.
Went to Twitter. No, that's not. It's campaigning. It's
yeah.
The night you go, it's no different than what's going on now throughout the country. The governor's races, mayoral races,
everybody's selling something.
Races.
You got to work.
Campaign. You hit the bricks, kissing babies, shaking hands. That's all I was doing. And yep. Cabin beer was behind with like 2 hours to go, and ended up winning. It was behind with 2 hours to go. I sent a tweet out asking for more votes, and it ended up winning. I'm not saying that's what turned the tide, but I don't think that campaigning is illegal.
We didn't set the rules that it would be. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, is it flawed? Some may say. I'm not saying I think it is. You know, is the actual most likely true winner the first warm weather patio beer? I mean, it's hard to. Some may say.
No.
Some certainly may say, and they could say.
Those people would be wrong.
Right, but I no comment. Some may say, though. They may.
Yep. Dewey defeats Truman, all that horseshit that they still say 70 years later, and they're still wrong.
True. That's right.
There are an awful lot of people who still say that Dewey defeated Truman. So.
John, if I had a nickel,
far
like I heard
fewer
every day.
Than there were a month ago.
All right, rest in power, Dewey lovers.
Ouch. Well, it's like
God.
I mean, you guys remember when you know Charlie Pride or Charlie Richards behind closed doors won best country song in 1974. I think everybody thought it was going to be Tom T. Hall for old dog's children and watermelon wine, but it wasn't.
I was just going to say that. That's it. God damn it, Stu. You beat me to that point.
So, I mean, this sometimes, you know, there's upsets. That it just happens.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with Tom T. Hall at all.
Oh, no. I love him.
But, you know, Charlie Rich just...
He brought his A-game. These are words that I know for sure. There's no doubt about
it. You know when we get behind closed doors. You know that song.
When she get behind closed
doors,
when she let her hair hang. Yeah. That's all I got. That's all I got. And he sings it better than that. Really,
you sound like you sound like Will Ferrell and Step Brothers.
A man.
Let's get something to talk about.
It's about she's a woman, a lady in the streets, and a freak in the sheets. That's what the song's about. Behind closed doors.
Okay. Yeah, I'm adding it to my list. Click, 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 click. Typing. Click, 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 click. That's me.
Beep, boop, bop, doop, beep,
click, beep, boop. Click, clickety, clack, clickety, clack. Did you guys want to talk about if you were, when you filled out your own personal bracket, what would be your favorites?
I've got my picks all ready to go.
Do you? You did some prep? Some show prep?
Yep. I've got my bracket filled out. It was a little bit different than the people voted for.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. I got my own personal opinions.
That's more than okay. I'd love to hear it. You don't need to how deep you plan on going with this? Game by game? Should we put a pot of coffee on?
Yeah, this is going to be a 14-hour podcast as I painstakingly go through every possible choice.
I did my final four and what they beat, so I guess I technically got down to my top eight, and then I've got a winner. So that's the detail I'm planning on going into, but I'll turn it over to you.
I've got no number one seeds in the final four, so I can only say that whoever seeded this bracket was a screw up of the highest order.
25% equally 25% all of us.
I do feel like this bracket was affected by our various stages of life. Because, for example, in Region 2, the kids finally in bed recliner beer was an easy pick for the final four for me. That was actually lost in the national championship game for me. Whereas most people are like, the masses didn't love that beer.
Right.
That was not a solid winner for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the same region as Cheers to winning the Adult Sports League beer, which is something that I have zero experience with, along with the pre-vacation airport beer. Again, something that I've never done in my life because I have small children, and most of the time when I'm at the airport, I just want death, not beer.
Yep.
So it's different. I got a different bracket than maybe someone whose kids can go to the bathroom on their own would have.
Yeah, that's good. That's totally okay. I was talking to a friend of mine, and his number one easily when he looked at my bracket was haircut beer.
What?
He's like, there's no doubt about it. Haircut beer wins. So it's okay. It's okay if you've got some quirky picks.
Can you explain the haircut beer? Now that the bracket's over, I feel like I need to ask about some of these picks.
Yep.
Are you drinking the beer while your hair is being cut?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, if you go to certain barbershops, and I go to one of them, the lady will be like, can I get you a beer? And you say yes. And she goes and grabs you a can of whatever they have. Doesn't really even matter. But it is a glorious beer because you are obviously like about to get your hair cut, which is great. It's always fun to get your hair cut. Typically, you're alone. Again, it's a guilt-free, solo, got about to be cleaned up and be happy about that. I'm on my own for a little bit. It's very peaceful beer. It's if you ever find a barber that offers you a free beer when you're there, you hold on to that barber for dear life. And so my friend, has one of those.
Can I ask you a question, Brandon? Sure. This is not meant to be embarrassing or to judgment or to make fun of you in any way. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Because quite often, from things that we talk about on the podcast or for things you post on Twitter, I realize that my life is absolutely nothing like your life in any way. So I want to ask you this question. How much do you usually pay for a haircut? Just ballpark it for me. You don't have to go down to the dollars and the cents. Just ballpark it for me.
I would ballpark it at $40-ish dollars.
Okay. I just wanted to know. I'm not here to offer judgment or any comment. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I have no, $40.
I will say that in my entire life of getting haircuts, not one person has ever offered me a beer.
I wonder if there's a, if Brandon's haircut place, there's an episode of Friends where Joey introduces Chandler to the place where he gets pants from. I don't know if you recall this one. And Joey, and the guy who measures your pants, your inseam, Joey says, so he grabs your balls and your wiener and he pulls them over to the side and then, so he measures one side.
That's how they do pants. Sure.
That's how they do pants. Chandler says, yeah, it is. In prison. Joey didn't realize that he's at like a very inappropriate pants place. That's not how they do pants. Is there something more than beers that they're doing to you there, Brandon? And if so, that's not how haircuts
you're cutting out
work.
You're cutting out. This interview's over. You're a terrible reporter. That's what I say to that.
That's how they do.
Do you get? Does hair get into your beer during the haircut?
That's a great question.
That's kind of where my I was like, is that gonna like a splash around in there?
Is that like a filter? They put like a colander over the top of it,
It's like those leaf guard things, gutter helmet, but like, for beer.
It's a straw, that's duct taped, so it's really hard to get in there. I basically set the beer up on the counter where all the stuff is, and then every so often I'll lean forward and take a gulp and then put it back down. You know, it doesn't take too many of those before the beer's gone.
How long are these haircuts taking?
Half an hour.
Jesus.
Jesus, you don't have any hair. You keep it like really high and tight.
There's a wash involved. Got to wash and condition and get the hot towel
washing
on your face.
Washing your head, right? We're talking about just your hair.
There's a massage.
I get the shampoo with the massage. Yes, because that's the best thing on earth.
It's very good. And then
that's better than any of the beers in the bracket. Is the if you get like a person who cuts your hair, they have like hands like a Swedish farm hand, and they just go to town on your scalp. That is better than any beer I've ever had. It's so
that's
good.
Right. Oh. Maybe we should do a best overall things bracket, and then that could be
gal. That's
great. Like, let's expand some beyond galley. Beer. Just anything.
They got off the boat. She was picking rocks for 30 years outside of Reykjavik. Just hands like fucking Joey Brown.
So strong. Oh, God.
Joey Browner hands. Yep. Just grabs on. Just,
I haven't heard Joey Browner hands in so long.
He did karate.
Palma truck That's tire.
Every Vikings game is the comment that the color guy would say the same thing. Joey Browner does karate.
Yep.
Strongest hands
strong
in the
hands.
NFL.
Yep.
So that's the haircut beer.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That's how they do pants.
I recommend it to everybody. Okay, John. Back to you.
I will say, in filling out my bracket, I think just by eliminating the beers I'd never had nor considered, I think that got it down to the Sweet 16 pretty easily. So. After that, it was just straight up voting. But I'll give you my final four.
Yep.
My final four was the Been a Long Week and It's Finally Quitting Time beer.
Mm. God, that's good.
The Kids Finally in Bed recliner beer.
Mm-hmm.
The Post Yard Work beer.
Yep.
Yep.
And the Just Got to the Cabin beer.
Okay.
And my overall winner was the Post Yard Work beer over the Kids Finally in Bed recliner beer.
Wow. That's good. That's a great beer. Yep.
Yeah, those are good beers. There's a lot of good beers in this bracket.
You know, that post-yard work beer, some of these are dependent on the idea that what makes it so great is your family is not around you, right? The running errands beer, of course. Like, you're not, you don't have your kids there. You're running out on yourself. You deserve a little bonus beer. The post-yard work beer is one of them that's more about like a job well done, satisfied beer. And it doesn't really matter if there are people around or not around. That's what makes that one so great. You just kicked ass at some yard work. Good for you. It's a great one. Totally respect that choice.
I will say, I have, as I've mentioned 1,000 times, I have 2 kids under the age of 4. So in our family, running errands by yourself is not like a, oh, you should reward yourself. You went out and ran errands. Good for you. Uh-huh. It's more like running errands by yourself is the best possible gift you can get. And doing it means that you're sentenced to a week of hard labor of taking care of both kids at the same time.
Right. I know. That does get easier, but it's going to be a little while for you, John. I'm sorry. Stu, did you have a choice? Did you fill out a bracket?
Let's see. I think I read about 5 of the 64.
Okay,
probably.
That's good.
Let's see. I did not fill out a bracket.
We cannot set the bar for work low enough that Stu won't fail to meet it.
I did go off the board for my one that I picked. And that was the beer that I have when there's a vaccine and I can go to the corner bar. There's a baseball game on. The popcorn machine is going.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old timer at the corner of the bar who's still mad about Kaiser Wilhelm. And that's all I want.
This would be called the reason you're drinking a beer in this fate. It's because you're finally
able
back.
To.
Finally, still alive beer.
On the other side of the mountain beer. That's what we're going to call it.
Okay. Post-corona.
The 2023 beer.
Correct. The other side of the mountain beer.
Okay. Yeah, that of course. That we didn't take that into account when we did this.
You did take into account that I was not going to read all the stuff you wrote. Mm-hmm. That you did take into account.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I did post them to Facebook. I thought I did very good with that. But yeah, I didn't read the things. Sorry, that's my fault.
Okay, Chicken. What about you? You're all right.
Yeah, top 8 pontoon beer, outdoor hockey beer. God, that's a great beer. The cans, you gotta get cans. Outdoor hockey, you got a case of cans. Chuck it in a snowbank over on the side of the boards. Playing outdoor hockey, go over, grab beer, throw the beer, situate it into the snowbank.
I love that.
That's a great beer.
No cleanup needed. And this is while you're playing hockey.
That's exact. While you're playing outdoor hockey. That's right.
Very
before,
cool.
During, and after. Mm-hmm.
Of course. As much as you can possibly fit down your gullet, you're doing it.
Yeah, that's a great beer.
And you're working out too, so you can drink more beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cabin beer was obviously one of my favorite post adult sports league beer out in the parking lot. That's a great beer. Bonfire beer, I'm a big fan. I am looking at the brackets right now. I know that there's some that I've missed. Pre-wedding ceremony beer, that's a great beer. I should be more detailed. You're in the ceremony, you're one of the groomsmen, an usher, etc. That groom. Beer with the groom, let's say you're half an hour out, T-minus 60 minutes, something in that ballpark, that last beer.
Yeah.
Great beer. I'm a pontoon guy. Pontoon beer was the beer that I called beforehand. That was my winner. It didn't win, but that would be my winner. I just love pontoons.
Pontoon. Yeah. Rockin' pont.
I love being on a pontoon.
It's a great
pontoon.
Place to be.
I like. I love being on a pontoon on my way to a bar that's on a lake. That's a great beer. The beer from the cabin to the bar on a pontoon. That's a beer. When you're
almost a pregame beer.
it combines a number of things. It's beautiful outside. It's probably, you know, the sun's just setting. Dusk beer, beautiful sunset beer, pontoon beer, pregame beer. It combines a lot of really good beers into one beer.
Poof. That's good. That's good. Okay, I'm going to get through mine. In region one, I had patio beer beating shower beer. Again, the post-exercise shower beer. We are all 25% culpable for putting that as a two seed, just so we know. Again, not naming names. But at
Brandon, wouldn't by definition your final four be the four number one seeds?
Yeah, you would think. I didn't do this on my own. I did this like beforehand. I was trying to predict what would be the most popular. I totally fucked up, obviously. Haircut beer is one of my favorites, but I put that as a seven seed because I was like, I don't think that's a thing that people do, but I thought a shower.
Nobody else even knew
it's
you
It's not
could
like your
do that.
Job requires yeah. you to understand what the general public may or may not like. So I think it's all
customer behavior. Yeah, no, that doesn't sound familiar to me at all. Yeah, nope. Jesus. This is, yeah, it's been all very humbling for me. So my region two adult sports championship beer, of course, beating the airport vacation beer. The third one, Christmas is finally over, beating takeout beer. I know I hate Christmas more than anybody, so that Christmas is finally over. This also I knew would be a thing that I love more than others is because the other cool thing about that beer is the NBA is on, and I love the NBA, so that's a big part of it. And then
I never understood. I just want to say I never understood your hatred of Christmas until you explained that you have like 11 family Christmases in one day.
Yep.
And then I totally understood and supported you.
Yeah.
From then on, like, yes, you should be drinking.
You know,
starting at lunchtime and going through the rest of the day.
It's really hard. The main thing is, well, there's two things. One, all of my family and all of Danielle's family is within like 20 minutes of us. So everybody is in town. Everybody's close and they expect us to be there. The other thing is, and I appreciate my family for being good sports, but I have divorced parents. But my grandparents are all still around. So they all say before Christmas, hey, just stop by. Just stop by for a little bit. No big deal. Say hello. All we want to do is see you for a little bit. And I could be there for 6 days. And when I get up to leave, they'd be like, what? You're leaving? You really got to go? And it's just like so much guilt involved with everybody when we leave. It's a good problem to have, I suppose, but it still kind of sucks. So Christmas is finally over, beats takeout beer. And then my last one, I kind of think I somehow got mentally strong-armed by chicken myself because I also have cabin beer beating errand beer. The more I thought about it, I was like, that does make me happier. And then my overall champion for myself personally, the greatest beer of all time, is winning the Adult Sports League beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, my second would be the airport beer. And that those were both in the same region. So tough draw. I'm sorry, airport beer. John, I do also remember, you know, that one is specific to no kids around.
Right.
And you're going on vacation with some buds or you and your wife or whatever. And you get to the airport early because why not? And then you have that beer before you get on the plane. And that's a great one. And then, of course, as we talked about last week, then you overdo it. You have three more on the plane. You fall asleep. You wake up and you're a zombie the rest of that first night. So it ends up being bad later. But you have all that adrenaline up front. And that first one goes down in like 4 or 5 seconds. It is just gone. So that's a good one. And that,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. That sums up our beer bracket. That was fun.
Good bracket. It's good. Good job.
It's good.
Brandon, thank you for the work. Thank you, everybody, for the work that you did.
Yes.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Everybody. Equally.
The equal amount of work that everybody put
in. Equal amount of work. Way to go, team. Okay. Hard pivot. Let's talk pigskin, boys. This is where you guys start talking.
This is where we talk about pigskin?
Let's talk football. There's a draft coming up.
I will say that I agree 100% with the many, many people on the internet who are rooting harder than ever for there to be major technical glitches during the entire NFL draft, because that would be utterly delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was, I read something today about one coach, and I can't remember which coach or which team, but he had the IT guys from his team remove two walls in his house so that he could have 25 TVs in his home. And I just am utterly fascinated by what he thinks is going to be on all 25 of these TVs.
Is he live in NORAD? Is that where he lives? It's like on the side of a mountain in case the Soviets launch a nuclear attack? Is that what he's like prepping for?
Like, how many? You can have ESPN every direction you look, I guess. But beyond that, you got the ESPN, you got NFL Network. What else do you want on TV exactly?
Is he still cramming on, like, watching clips of these guys? Like, hey, which one's Chase Young again? Show me some video. Yeah. Oh, okay, that guy's sweet. I'll take him.
And got the IT guy out in a Winnebago in his TV truck. Throw up some clips of football. We need some football on these TVs.
And aren't there, like, guys who are the old-school, precise opposite guys? Like, the guy from the Giants is, like, probably going to walk over to, like, the nearest hotel to find the business center so he can get on one of those computers and he got to pay $10 an hour to get on. Yeah.
In the business center at the Holiday Inn Express.
Kid flipping over the waffle maker.
Yep.
Yeah, I did see a photo of, I think it was a Giants guy, and he had a binder that was like 6 inches thick, this binder, like a, you know, I mean, it had to be 1,500 pages. It's like the Count of Monte Cristo, just of scouting reports. It's like, how are you leafing through all that? What the fuck? Oh, I don't get it. But yeah, I am also rooting for chaos.
Oh, there's nothing would make me happier than the Dallas Cowboys internet going down at the wrong time and Jerry Jones just losing his mind. Or even better, Jerry Jones thinking that his Zoom call is turned off and just going off and swearing a blue streak and getting that FCC fine for ESPN. That would be delightful. I just want everything to go wrong. Whereas with every other league, I would be rooting for them to get it right, and this is a good way of doing it. I'm glad that they're finding a way around this. I just want to watch. With the NFL, they're just so NFL that I just want things to go poorly for them.
So we're recording this on April 22nd. When is the draft? Tomorrow?
23rd? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. 7 okay. p.m. I can't wait. Sports. Finally. Something.
Yes. Okay, Chicken, what are you hoping happens?
I want to...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, you want Tua. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's
yes.
It.
I agree.
That's the whole message. It's all I want.
If they traded up for him, at what level that they traded up would you be upset that we traded up too much? Give away the farm. Do you care?
No, I wouldn't. I obviously, like, 5 first round picks or some ridiculous thing would be too much, but anything short of that, I'd be happy.
Do we think that he's going to... I just have always assumed that he was like a top five pick. Not happening?
It's going to happen. They're not going to get him. It's not. It's no. There's zero chance, Brandon. It doesn't mean I can't dream. It's all I've got left. Fuck, right? What are you trying to do to me? It's all I've got, and you're trying to take that from me.
I remember a million years ago, we said this same exact thing about Teddy Bridgewater.
And I said, it fucking happened.
It was the most insane thing that has ever happened on this podcast.
I want to catch it.
And that's including the one time that Stu and I did a joke that we started singing, it's been 1 week. And then like 3 days later, a very famous podcast did the exact same joke somehow. Do you remember that, Stu?
I do. Scott Aukerman owes us $5.
So insane. I just seriously, it was one of those times where I thought I was dreaming. But the second biggest thing and more pertinent to this is that Teddy Bridgewater happened. Mm-hmm. You willed it to happen, Chicken. Mm-hmm. You did. You personally willed it to happen.
During the draft, people were saying, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. And what you won't... the Vikings picked, made a first-round pick. And everybody's like, well, obviously, Chicken, you're an idiot. It didn't happen. Yep. Move on with your life. And I said, no, believe. Just everybody, just relax. Believe. The Vikings had already made their first-round pick. And then they traded up into the first round and picked Teddy.
It was unbelievable. Remarkable. And it was... the thing that was so impressive to me is you were the bigger man and you were so mature that you actually gave Rick credit and stopped screaming and yelling and hating him for like 45 seconds.
That never happened. It was unbelievable to me. Once happened.
You took like through a commercial break and then you were hooting and hollering once again.
I gave Norv Turner credit. That's how remarkable it was.
And that is a surprise right there. Giving Norv credit for anything.
I still give him that credit.
Grin and bear it.
Well, what else am I supposed to do?
No, I get it.
I wasn't left with a lot of choices here.
Everything I know about pro football analytics came from the time that Brandon suggested Norv Turner was a good offensive coordinator, and I went off like a beautiful mind with a room full of things connecting things, learning everything I could about football analytics just so I could write something specifically calling Brandon names.
This is slanderous.
For suggesting that Norv was a good offensive coordinator.
This is slanderous. I hated Norv from the get-go. Hated him. I made a PowerPoint showing how bad he was, and I sent it to you, Jonathan.
You did?
Yeah.
I enjoy the slanderous version much more.
Not interested. Not interested.
I'm having way more fun remembering that you love Norv Turner and I hated him.
Always been a Norv guy. Loved him. Air it out, baby. That's my man.
Scat backs.
So as we understand it now, the day before the draft, and what I know is through very deep, intense scanning of one article 6 weeks ago. So I believe Joe Burrow is going to be going first to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Poor guy.
And R.I.P. Joe Burrow. Ah.
And then there's a good defensive player, Chase Young, who's going to be a big pick. And then there's like a safety on either like Auburn or, no, I think Clemson. And then that's it. That's all that I know. That's it. And then Tua, right?
Tua goes to the Dolphins at 4, I think, is the...
Dolphins at 4, Tua.
R.I.P. Tua.
That's the key, so everybody's saying... watch the Dolphins. Watch the fish at 4. If they pass on Tua, if they take that Bobby Hebert's kid from Oregon, if they take him instead, that's the curveball. And then Tua starts the Tom Petty. Just.
He's free falling.
Starts free falling. So there he comes.
And he's saying, don't do me like that.
Here he comes. And you know what will be the hardest part?
The waiting! It's the waiting!
Oh, God. I could just see that coming. You don't know how it feels when you can see something coming like that. And it feels good. It feels really good.
Tua.
Petty.
lefty quarterback. Brian O'Neill strong. He's on the right tackle. Yes. Just watch the fish.
It's gonna happen.
Watch him.
All right. That's good intel. Good intel. We just got to keep our eye on the fish. It's and then we happen. Have two first-round picks because old Trader Rick went and got rid of, like, our favorite player.
Yeah. What you
pretty
do?
Cool of him.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Thanks, pal. Hate having a good offense. Okay, so we can make some magic happen with Tua. That's the key. Anything else I really don't think I care about, right?
I guess I checked on this. Somehow this happened, even though Mike Zimmer is the coach. The Vikings don't have any cornerbacks anymore.
Mm-mm.
Nope. They're all gone.
They all
went
despite
away.
Despite drafting a cornerback in the first round for 49 straight years.
Somehow they're all gone.
They're somehow out of them.
That's really weird. I don't know what happened. I mean, one of them got super old last year.
Okay.
And then the other one was kind of okay, but he's gone too. And then I don't know what happened to everyone else. It's like the cops came to a teen party. They all just scattered. It's just everybody's gone. Just one kid passed out on the couch, and that's Mackenzie Alexander. That's it.
So you're saying now we need to draft a cornerback?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fuck. Oh. It's like the most boring.
Also, you can also go through every podcast we've ever done about the NFL draft and listen to all the segments where we swore and yelled and screamed and jumped up and down and demanded that the Vikings draft an offensive lineman and just roll those forward again to this year, and they're still applicable because Rick Spielman's an idiot. They can't draft offensive linemen.
Shit. So the sensible choice would be we come away tomorrow night. It's just the first draft tomorrow, I'm guessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
First round.
Yep.
First round.
We come away with an offensive lineman and a cornerback.
I mean,
boo.
Yes. I think
stupid
that's
and boring.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. They need a wide receiver too, but it sounds like that's where most of the depth is, and you can get that on the second or third day.
It's going to be.
Let me ask you. Does Notre Dame have any tight ends that are available?
Yeah, because
I think that would be a position of need.
They do. I think they have two really good tight ends that are draft eligible.
UCLA linebacker would love one of those.
That I don't know.
Those guys are good.
I suspect what they'll pick is a defensive back in the first round, at least tomorrow night. They will pick a 100%. Defensive back that either has injury issues. Or a questionable 40 time.
Uh-huh. Yep. Slow but smart. I get that.
They will pick an offensive lineman who is not from one of the top colleges.
He's from Tulane.
Temple.
And he's athletic
Tulane.
Marvel.
Yeah.
But he was a transfer and started four games his senior year.
And has questionable pass blocking skills, which you're like, wait, fuck, what? That's isn't that what you want? Anyway, it'll be.
But he's going to be mentored by Bill Beavers, so it'll be okay.
He's
allergic to Gatorade. It's weird.
That's my prediction.
Went to a university that will cause an argument among us about where that university is.
Yep. Yeah. Villanova. It'll be a Villanova kid.
It's in Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
We had this
Villanova.
Discussion.
I know where Villanova
George Mason.
Is.
Damn it.
We had this discussion last night in our home. Where is the university?
George Mason?
George Mason University.
It's a suburb of
Baton Rouge.
In Washington, D.C.
I want to say it's like in Alexandria, Virginia.
Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
It is not in Baton Rouge.
It's a horrible podcast question because I don't know the answer. I don't know.
But you still don't know?
I'm not certain of my answer, but I am certain it's not in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Atlanta. Yeah, it's in.
Grant is just naming.
It's in Virginia.
It's in Honduras.
yeah, it's in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Good job, everybody.
That's pretty good. Good job, guys.
Just kidding. It's Baton Rouge. Nailed it.
Kazakhstan.
Oh boy.
When this pandemic really reaches its heights, we're just going to go through and do an entire map-based podcast because I enjoy nothing more than our arguments about where things are.
Yep, it should be colleges, it should be like headquarters of companies.
Right.
Just anything we can private, think of is where is this?
Private schools in the Twin Cities.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Where's Blake? I don't know. Let's argue about it.
It's by Tartan. I don't know where Tartan is, but it's by Blake.
Centennial. Anyone?
None of that was right. I'm pretty
doesn't
sure.
Centennial's the one that gets me every time. I got no fucking Tartan's in Oakdale, I know that. Blake is in Minneapolis.
Centennial's in Lionel Lakes.
I was going to say that doesn't mean I couldn't drive.
I don't know where the fuck Lionel Lakes is.
Exactly.
Tell me right now. Drive to Lionel Lakes. I'll give you $1 million.
Where is Circle Pines?
Drive north.
Just find Ham Lake, okay? It's easy. Just get in your car and drive to Ham Lake.
This is when
good luck.
When people mention the names of neighborhoods in Minneapolis, this is how
Very good. Yes.
Right. Longfellow.
Oh, it's in Camden. Oh, yeah. Camden. I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
Good neighborhood.
I'm not driving
good
all
the way
to Kingsfield.
Just say good schools whenever anybody brings it up. That's all you got to do.
Yep. Well, is that our NFL draft preview?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that idea, John, by the way. Just what we could do is just go alphabetical. I'm looking on Wikipedia. List of Division One colleges and where they are located. Just go alphabetically and just start.
Yep.
What would be a good one? Austin, PA. And just go.
The Governors. Those are the Governors.
Where are they at?
I don't know. Probably Texas?
Austin, P's in Virginia.
That's good.
Southwest Texas.
Nope.
Maybe it's Tennessee. I don't know.
Think Monkeys. Think the Monkees.
Brazil.
They were from England, and they're a fake group.
What's think Monkees
Davy
songs.
Jones, Peter
Tork,
Mickey Dolenz, Michael Nesmith.
The last train to
Clarksville, Tennessee.
There
we
bing.
Go.
Good job, guys.
Look at
we
that.
Could do this all day long. We could do that.
Okay, so we're
going to
do – what we'll do is we'll just go around the horn, and we'll try to stump other people, and it can be a college. It can be anything you want. Like,
God, it's just such a horrible
where
idea.
Where is this thing? Mm-hmm. It's the worst.
Carton. Yep, I love it.
Oh, my God, is it a bad idea?
It's so bad.
Honestly, we'll have to do this on, like – we'll have to start, like – at 9 a.m. on a weekend day because this podcast will end up being 7 hours.
But I guarantee you, as bad as this idea is, tomorrow it's going to be all of Commons 2 hours. It's
oh boy. Okay. Do you want to get to our last topic?
Sure.
Okay, the Last Dance documentary. Chicken, what did you think?
I don't know what you're... Honestly, I don't
speechless.
Know what you're talking
He's
about.
Speechless.
Dance. I got two kids that dance. They didn't dance? I don't know.
10-episode documentary.
Hold on. 10 parts?
Yes, 10 episodes. 2 per night for the next four more Sundays.
This is a documentary.
Well,
it's 10 hours about Michael Jordan.
Documentary.
Yep.
That's
what they
thank
call
goodness.
I've heard about the Michael Jordan documentary. It's called The Last Dance. Why is it called The Last Dance?
The Last Dance because it's focusing on the sixth of their six championships, and they knew going into it that this was going to be the last season because Pippen was a free agent, and Phil Jackson didn't have a contract, and they were told he wasn't going to be the coach anymore. A bunch of other guys were free agents. Jordan was getting old and said he was going to retire. So they knew at the beginning of the year, this is it. So they call it The Last Dance. So it's the first two episodes are a lot of like background stuff, but it's supposed to be focused on that last season. So
I think the good thing about this documentary series, in my opinion, is that if there's one athlete in American history that hasn't been talked about enough, it's definitely Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no kidding. You're not. I don't know if we're going to learn anything new about him. He's an asshole, and he was very good at basketball.
Is he, do they portray him as an asshole in the documentary?
Well, this past Sunday were the first two of the 10 episodes, and I would say no, not really. And the issue that I have with it, although I don't really have a huge issue, but Jordan is like involved in it. You know, he's a producer. He approved the content. And so it's a little bit of like, you're not ever going to get the totally true and real story. Although, again, I don't know if we're really clamoring for like more Jordan content, but yeah, so he's not, I mean, he's kind of an asshole so far.
So it's a 10 part infomercial for Michael Jordan.
Yeah. No. That's okay. It's
who
sports.
So who does he paint as the asshole? I know he didn't like the owner. I forget the owner's name, but he didn't like
Jerry Krause, I believe, was his nemesis, wasn't he?
Jerry Krause, the general manager. The owner was deceased. Fine to him, although, of course, the owner is probably a huge asshole, and he just had Jerry Krause do his bidding for him.
I'm thinking of the GM. You're right. Yeah. I'm
yeah, yeah.
Yep. Does he paint him as an asshole in the thing, or does he gloss over that part too?
No, he's painted as an asshole. Yeah. And he probably kind of was. I mean, some of the quotes showed him as wanting a lot more credit. I mean, he pushed Phil Jackson out the door, which is a little weird, and kind of broke up the entire team, which is, again, pretty weird. They won three in a row, three championships in a row. But he's also dead, and he has no way to defend himself, and no one is really representing his point of view on the show, so it's a pretty easy villain. And he wasn't really all that bad overall. So,
but he obviously also built the team. Like, how? So, is that
totally? Yeah, I mean, he drafted Pippen. He traded up to draft Pippen. He drafted Horace Grant. He signed all these guys. Made some pretty good trades. I mean, no GM is like going to have more, you know, way more hits than misses. But overall, I think he seems like so far. I mean, did a pretty good job. But I guess he was probably, his crime was being like wanting more credit than he got and was annoyed by it. But who cares? So that part's a little bit annoying. But overall, the first 2 hours were interesting. John, you watched it, right?
Nope.
Are you boycotting any Michael Jordan content?
No, I don't have anything particularly against Michael Jordan, except that I didn't like Michael Jordan when he was Michael Jordan. The Timberwolves took till like 1999 to beat the Bulls. So I would definitely rather watch a documentary on the Bill Musselman era Timberwolves than Michael Jordan. We've heard enough about Michael Jordan. I'd rather hear something about something that I'm interested in. But I do feel one of the surprising things for this documentary series to me has been the number of people I've seen on Twitter or elsewhere talking about how much they loved Michael Jordan when they were kids. Like, this was something that was really important to them and they loved the Bulls and stuff. And these are people from the from up here, not from Chicago, people from up here. And
you know, monsters.
That kind of thing just drives me nuts somehow. It was Michael Jordan was the first in a long line of athletes for me personally. I'm sure there were people before Michael Jordan, but Jordan was the one when I was coming up that he was one of those athletes that people said you have to love this guy. And it went from Michael Jordan to Derek Jeter to Tom Brady, Brett Favre, all of these athletes where the consensus opinion seemed to be, oh, you have to love this guy, you can't hate this guy. And I hate being told what to do, but also I hated every one of those people. So Michael Jordan was just the first in a long line of people, of athletes that everyone else loved, which only made me hate them more.
John, I have never felt closer to you than I do right now.
You may get your hair cut at a place you get beer. I may get my hair cut at a place where they point a gun at your head and tell you to get out as soon as possible. But we can agree on this.
yeah, it's a really natural thing to like push back against people who continue to scream and yell at you and lecture you about having to appreciate this person. And huh. I probably have a few people that I'm okay with for whatever reason, but I do feel that with Jordan, there is some weird, like, I hear these like podcasts and articles about like, he never took a game off, man. He never once had a bad game. It takes like 11 seconds to find a game when he had like 6-for-23 shooting for 18 points or whatever. Right. Like, it's so easy to figure out that they're like, why is it so important for these people to put him in this place where it's just like, it's impossible for him to reach. He's a human being. Yeah. So I've always sort of resisted like the Jordan obsession because of that. So it is just, it's an odd, he does something weird to people. Grown ass men turn into like those girls who fainted at like Michael Jackson in concert. You know, that part's a little mm-hmm. weird. He was good. I mean, he was unbelievable. And, you know, some of the clips of just like how graceful he was and all those insanely acrobatic layup dunks and more, like, I totally get it. I also would point out that he's usually in these clips being guarded by someone who's like weighs 175 pounds. Looks like me trying to guard him. Like Danny yeah. Ainge in the playoffs was guarding him. Danny Ainge was legitimately like 175 pounds. It's a little bit easier. So that part, yeah, I'm with you on that one. So you always hated Jordan, huh?
I don't think it crystallized into the hate that I later held for Jeter or Favre or something like that because I was just a kid. But I never understood anyone who was a Bulls fan at that time. It was like being a Cowboys fan or a Yankees fan or whatever. Even then, I recognized how morally bankrupt it was to cheer for Jordan and the Bulls, no matter how great he was, because you're not from Chicago. You're yeah. not sitting down with a hot dog with peppers on it for some reason watching WGN. You are stuck with Brad Lowhouse and this crew here.
Right.
This is what we have. Get used to it.
Yeah. Is there anybody in that vein of, like, people just fawn over constantly that you are still okay with?
Maybe LeBron because of Skip Bayless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, he does.
I like LeBron.
Skip made
it
easier.
But he seems to attract a weird category of LeBron truthers.
Right.
That I don't quite understand.
Yeah, LeBron will never make it to that level of Jordan and Jeter, and I would say you're right, Favre, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Those are probably the four that I can think of more than anybody. And LeBron, for some reason, all the people who are obsessed with those guys seem to not love LeBron.
Yeah, I'm not I don't quite know why, but so I guess LeBron would be the closest counterexample.
Right. Yeah. So are you going to watch it?
Well, I would, except the silver lining of the pandemic is now I can blame the pandemic for all of the things that were tough about my life just because I had kids so far.
Mm-hmm.
So before I would say, oh, I have no time because I have kids. Now, oh, the pandemic is really, I have no time because of this pandemic, when really it's just the exact same. So in my 45 minutes of free time or so that I get after bedtime every night, I might watch an episode or two. But the articles that you're seeing about how it's an infomercial produced by Jordan to settle old scores with dead people aren't exactly making me want to watch it a lot.
Right. Yeah, and I will say that as a guy who, we just talked about it, but like somewhat resist this Jordan as a walking god. It was still good. It was still super interesting to me. And I also am not the guy who's watched other Bulls documentaries and read shit about the Bulls, cause I haven't been that, you know, that interested in it. It was fun. It was cool. I mean, it's also just, it's just kind of fun to look back in the '80s, giant suits and Larry Bird's bangs. And it's just some funny shit going on just from that, which is always it's always kind of worth watching. So I'll let you know how episodes 3 and 4 go, because I'll watch this Sunday. But so far, I would say it was well worth the time.
Did we know that television broadcasting and haircuts and fashion were all terrible back in the 1980s? I don't remember being down on any of that at the time, but you look back at it now and it seems like it was 10,000 years ago now.
Totally. Yeah, people had just started, they had a little bit more disposable income as you do through the years, and they started caring a little bit more, and they were just like, they didn't really have any idea of what actually looked good and bad. It was a lot of just like, well, this is new and different, and hair is big. Let's see how big I can make my hair. And all of a sudden, a 5'4 woman is like 6'3 with her hair. It's just like all this fucking hairspray, and again with the bangs and the pleats and the tasseled loafers. God, it was just, people were going for it back then. They really were. Things have kind of settled down. It's in some ways now. They were not settled back then, man. Shit was wild. Good for all of them. No. Stu, you were there. What was it like? What was it like trying to look good in the 80s?
It was impossible.
Tell us stories of what it's like to be old.
It's impossible.
Yeah. There was a picture of Jordan golfing, and he was wearing seersucker Junkos. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. The best athlete in the world wearing seersucker Junkos. I mean, no one can pull that off. I don't know what was going on. There was also at the time a ska revival going on. So, I mean, we were in the shit back then. That was our Vietnam. It was just so bad for any number of reasons. And
But did you feel cool ever? Did you feel like, all right, I'm going to go out tonight. I'm single. I'm going to try to get some action. I definitely need to put on my best pleated khakis. Was that like a thing? Like you were just like, hell yeah.
I got my oversized bowling shirt, my pork pie hat, and my trombone, and we're going to go out and we're going to listen to some ska. Oh, God.
Ska. The 90s were awful.
Do some swing dancing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Choices were made. That's that choices were made.
Fashion is different than music, but I definitely remember at times growing up being like, music is good right now. Music is awesome. And then like a few years later being like, music sucks ass right now. There is nothing good. And so I wonder if maybe it's the same thing with like fashion back then. They were like, I don't know. I mean, is this like a vertical striped pink and teal green polo shirt? I don't know. I mean, it was on the rack. I guess I have to wear something like this. Whew, man, people made some choices though. It was good. It was fun to watch.
Every band had a guy that just danced.
Just a dancer.
It was weird. He was just dancing. I don't know. And it wasn't like the time where it was Jerome and it was cool. It was more like some band from Southern California, and it didn't work.
Well, it's sort of like some of the bands that have like a lead singer who doesn't play an instrument and doesn't really write the songs. And it's like, what, this guy he's just singing. That's all he does. And it's like that guy hired. He's like, you think I'm mostly useless? Check out this other guy next to me. If you want to fire somebody, this guy's just fucking dancing. He doesn't even have a microphone.
Yes.
He was doing a tambourine like once in a while.
He had like a one syllable name. It was like Torse. And he would just, you know, he'd be skanking to the beat. That's what he did.
Man.
Yeah.
Wild times.
Wild times.
Maybe we'll look back on this time and laugh about it, but
nope.
I don't know. No seersucker Jenko's going on, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, John, we're an hour into it. Did you want to keep talking?
No.
You want to... Should we call it?
Does anyone want to keep listening at this point? That's the real question.
Dude, do not ask questions you don't want to hear the answer to.
Anyone who is still listening to this podcast at the 1 hour, 2 minute mark, when you say to me, John, do you want to keep talking? Every one of them is like, no, please no.
My God.
Say no, John.
Please force me to press stop. I wanted to press stop so long ago. Just end.
I'm now listening on 2.5 speed just to try to get to the end of this.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in the midst of this podcast, two ideas were surfaced. One not great and one really good. The not great idea was the bracket for just good things in general. I liked that idea for a few seconds until we came up with our second concept for the mm-hmm. podcast, mm-hmm. the Where Is This Thing podcast. So I think
this
we're gonna...
podcast is now about maps.
Yep. It's just maps. So we're going to get that going, and we'll do that at some point.
Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman. Where's that at?
Bethune-Cookman is also in Tennessee.
No, that's like Mississippi, I think.
Shit, I gotta look it up. Keep Brandon?
I will go with Baton Rouge.
That's a callback. God, that's comedy 101. Well done.
Callback.
We could sit here all goddamn day. I never would have guessed this in a million years. Not in a million years. Daytona Beach, Florida.
Holy shit.
No.
I'm looking right at it.
God, this is a good podcast. This is going to be so fun.
God damn it. That's a great idea. Fuck yes. Such a horrible idea. This is great.
This is the worst. It's the worst. I can't wait. All right, well, let's wrap this episode up and get to planning on the next one.
One more thing. I promise this to Chicken. I'm going to close with a quote from the film Goon.
Oh, fuck yes.
By the character Gord Ogilvy.
Yes. He's so great.
You know what's hard work? Going through a divorce. She's trying to get all my money now. She can have half of it. I don't give a shit. The other half, hard work, mine. Some guys on their team are fucking divorced.
We're
three
playing
guys
divorced
there,
guys.
Fucking marriages are in the fucking toilet. There. Sorry, I started laughing. The goddamn dialogue is so funny.
We're playing divorced guys.
We're playing divorced guys.
Very underrated movie.
Oh,
God.
It's a good one.
There. Sorry, I just wanted to get that divorce line out there. It's just so goddamn good. Three guys. Oh, God. There. You can call it, Brent. Call it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.